Welcome back to our study of Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's Shiur, we're studying Perek Chavav, chapter 26. Let's begin with the first pasuk, which will give us a date stamp for this story. And the story which we're going to read today could serve as a script for a movie or a play, as you'll see very soon. Breshit mamlechut Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda, haya davar hazeh meit Adonai lemor. These instructions to Yirmiyahu by God were given to him early during the reign of King Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu. In yesterday's chapter, in chapter 25, we saw that critical event which took place in the fourth year of Yehoiakim, when Yirmiyahu made his prediction that Babel's sovereignty would now remain over the Middle East for the next 70 years. This prophecy seems to have been given a bit earlier. Was it the first year of the reign of Yehoiakim, or the second, or the third? We don't know for sure, but early during his reign, towards the end of our shiur today, we'll try to figure out more precisely when this Nebuah was given. Recall as well, in case you don't remember from chapter 22, Yehoiakim was a bad king, especially compared to his father Yoshiel. In chapter 22, Yirmiyahu explained how Yoshiel was a good king who did his best to get the people to repent properly. The people weren't as good as their king was, but at least he tried his best. After Yoshiel's tragic death in Megiddo, when he went up to fight Paron Necho, the king of Egypt, when he was on his way to fight the Babylonians in Carchemish, that's when Yoshiel met his tragic death. Several months later, his son Yehoiakim took over with Egyptian backing. So let's see what Yirmiyahu was told to say early during the reign of Yehoiakim. Pasuk Bet. Ko ma Adonai, amod b'chatzar beit Adonai, v'dibarta al ko are Yehuda, habayim nishtachavot beit Adonai, et ko hadvarim asher tziviticha ledaber alehem, al tigra davar. God tells Yirmiyahu once again to go to the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash, what we would say nowadays, go to the main shul, and speak to all the people coming from all the cities of Yehuda, who are coming to the Beit HaMikdash to bow down to God, all the things I'm commanding you, don't leave anything out. Pasuk Gimel, Ulai Yishmu, V'yashuvu Ish Midarko Hara, maybe they'll obey you now, maybe now they'll listen, and maybe they'll repent each person from their evil ways, and if they would do so, V'nichamti El Hara'a, Asher Anochi Choshev Lasot Lehem, V'pnei Ro'a Malalehem. If they indeed repent properly, then God is saying, I'm willing to change my mind from all this evil, which I'm thinking to do to them because of the bad actions. As we mentioned before, Yirmiyahu's primary job is to prevent destruction. And here's a classic example of that. Yirmiyahu is giving the people what seems to be one last warning before something terrible is going to happen. God is choshev lasot. God's planning to do something, but he's willing to change his mind. The word v'nichamti al ha'ra, God is willing to change his mind about the punishment he's going to bring. But the people need to fix their ro'a malalehem, their evil ways. What these evil ways are, we're going to find out very soon when we notice the parallel between this chapter and chapter 7. Pasuk Dalet, V'amarta lehem, tell them as follows, Ko amar Adonai, Im lo tishmu elai, if you don't listen to me now, lelechet b'torati, to follow my laws, asher natati lifnechem, that I've given you, lishmo divrei avodai hanavim, asher nochi sholech alechem, if you don't obey the words of my prophets that I've been sending you persistently over these last several years, and you haven't been listening up until now, then what will be your punishment? Pasuk Vav. V'natati et habayit hazeh kishilo, v'ta'ir hazot etein liklala l'cho goi ha'aretz. This house, this Beit HaMikdash that you're all praying in, where Yirmiyahu is delivering this message, will receive the same fate that Shiloh had. And the city of Yerushalayim, will be a curse to all the nations around, meaning Yerushalayim will receive such terrible destruction that it will be a benchmark when people describe a destroyed city. This is a very harsh warning, but in essence what Yirmiyahu is saying to the people davening the Beit HaMikdash, that this temple might be destroyed if you don't improve your behavior. It was several weeks ago when we learned chapter 7, that if you go back to Perek Zayin in Sefer Yirmiyahu, you're going to see the exact same warning, but in a more detailed version. If you go back and take a quick look at the beginning of Perek Zayin, the opening psukim, Hadavar asher hayah Yirmiyahu meit Adonai lemor, Amod b'shar beit Adonai v'karat Hashem et hadavar hazeh, v'yamarta shimu dvar Adonai ko Yehuda ba'im b'sharim ha'ela l'shtachavot l'Adonai. It's almost the exact same header. Yirmiyahu was told to go to the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash and deliver these words, specifically to the people coming to daven and bow down to God, what we would call the religious people. And then he tells him in Pasuk Gimel, Kol Ma'ar Hashem Tzvot Elohei Yisrael, Heitivo Darchechem U'Malalechem, Improve your behavior and your ways, and you can stay here. And then he says, don't put your trust in all the false prophets saying, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem. We talked about how the prophets are saying God's house can't be destroyed, especially if you continue to bring him korbanot, and not to worry, Yerushalayim won't be destroyed, giving false hopes to the people that nothing will go wrong. Instead, he said, Kim hitib teitib adarchechem vet malalechem, but you must instead improve your ways and your actions. And then he was more specific what that was referring to. Imasu tasu mishpat ben ishu ben reu, if you have justice between your fellow men, ger yatom v'almanah lo tashoku, don't oppress the stranger, the widow, the orphan, v'gdam naki, al tishpechu b'makom hazeh, don't spill innocent blood. We're going to return to that phrase later in today's share. And Yirmiyahu continues, and then he says, if you follow all this reform, then v'shikanti etchem b'makom hazeh, you can continue to dwell in this place, as I promised. Then, several psukim later, after giving all this warning and complaining about how the people are breaking the Ten Commandments but still coming to daven in the Beit HaMikdash, he tells him in Pasuk Bet, Kiluchu na el mekomi asher b'shilo asher shikanti shmisham b'rishona uruat asher asiti lo. If you want to see that it's possible that God's house can be destroyed, simply take a tiyot to Shiloh and look what happened to that Mishkan. Then he continues to warn, if you continue to do these bad ways, Pasuk Yodalad, v'asiti lebayit asher nikra shmi alav asher tem botrim bo. So, in Perek Zayin we see that Yirmiyahu had already warned the people, if they don't improve their behavior, the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim will receive the same fate that Shiloh had received several hundred years earlier. Now the question is, if this prophecy was already recorded in chapter 7, why is it being repeated in chapter 26? And furthermore, why don't we have a date for it in chapter 7? And why do we receive the date for it in chapter 26. These are the questions which we have to deal with as we continue to read Perek Chavav. Let's return now to Perek Chavav, and we'll see what's going to be a little bit different now in chapter 26. Pasuk Zayin. Vayishmu ha-kohanim v'anavim b'chol ha'am et Yirmiyahu medaber et hadvarim ha'ele b'beit Adonai. Yirmiyahu delivered these words of warning to all the people in the Beit HaMikdash, and the kohanim and the Nevim in the Beit HaMikdash, together with the people, were listening to him, and they became very angry. And listen what they did. Pasuk Chet. Vayiki chalot Yirmiyahu ledaber et kol asher tziva Adonai ledaber al kol ha'am. After Yirmiyahu completed delivering this rebuke to the people, vayitpesu oto hakohanim v'anaviim v'chol ha'am lemor mot tamut. He was grabbed right away by the priests, by the kohanim, and by the neviim, the so-called prophets, which Yirmiyahu called the false prophets, and all the people saying, you deserve to die, mot tamut. And now listen to the charge that they're going to indict him on. Pasuk Tet, Madua nibeita b'shem Adonai lemor, ki shilo ye abayit hazeh. Why did you prophesize in God's name that this house, the Beit HaMikdash, God's temple, will receive the same fate as Shiloh? How could you say such a thing? V'ha'ir azot techarav men yoshev. How could you predict that the city of Yerushalayim, God's city, the capital of the Jewish people, how could you stand in shul in the Beit HaMikdash and make such a terrible prediction? V'ha'ikael kol ha'am el Yirmiyahu b'beit Adonai. Everyone gathered around Yirmiyahu, in God's house, they wanted him dead. Before we continue the story, now it's quite clear the difference between chapter 26 and chapter 7. In chapter 7, we get the details of what that rebuke was, and more precisely what Yirmiyahu was telling the people that they had to do, and what they were doing wrong. Here in chapter 26, the first six psukim simply summarize all the events of chapter 7. The focus of chapter 26 is going to be Yirmiyahu's trial, which is going to take place now. They're not going to lynch Yirmiyahu and kill him with a mob. We're talking about the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to take Yirmiyahu to the court system. There's going to be a Sanhedrin there. We're going to have a proper trial. We're going to have witnesses, etc. And if they're going to kill Yirmiyahu, it needs to be done through the proper judicial process. And now we're going to find a very intriguing story of how trials took place in the Beit HaMikdash in ancient times. Pasuk Yud. Vayishmu sarei Yehuda et hadvarim ha'ele. The ministers of the cabinet members of Yoyakim's government heard what was going on. They saw there's a ruckus in the Beit HaMikdash. They weren't there at the time, but the king's palace is not very far from the Beit HaMikdash. They heard what was going on. Then they went up from the king's house to God's house. Recall that the Beit HaMikdash is a little bit higher up than where the king's house was, lower down, closer to the Ir David. And they sat at the opening of the new gate of the Beit HaMikdash. Recall that during Yoshiyahu's reign, especially in year 18, There was a lot of funding that went to the Beit HaMikdash to renovate it because it was very dilapidated due to what happened during the time of Menashe and Amon. And one of the first things that Yoshiel does is to renovate the Beit HaMikdash. And it seems that in that renovation project, they built a new shar, a new gate for the Beit HaMikdash. And that's where the court sits. We know, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. The judgment takes place within the gate of the city. And now we're going to have the trial. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yimru ha'konim v'hanavim el ha'sarim. The sarim, the ministers, are going to be here, the judges. And the konim and the nevim now state their case. Again, Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yimru ha'konim v'hanavim el ha'sarim v'kol ha'am lemor. They also told the people who are watching. Mishpat mavet le'ish hazeh. Kini ba el ha'ir hazot kashir shematem bosnechem. This man, Yirmiyahu, he deserves to die because he prophesied about this city as you yourselves heard. They themselves don't even want to mention what he said. You all heard what he said about the Beit HaMikdash and the city of Yerushalayim being destroyed. Someone who makes that type of a statement deserves the death penalty. And notice who's speaking here. This is the established rabbinate of the time. The Kohanim and the Levim, the Kohanim, or the priests who are officiating in the Beit HaMikdash, the Levim, are God's prophets, the ones guiding the people in the ways of God. And they are saying to the ministers, Yirmiyahu deserves to die because rabbis are not supposed to go and make statements like this, scaring the people, and even bring up the possibility that the Beit HaMikdash could be destroyed. Pasuk Yud Bet, Yirmiyahu has to go and present his defense. Vayomer Yirmiyahu el kol hasarim. Yirmiyahu answers back now to the judges. Here are the ministers. Ve'akol ha'am lemor, also the people who are listening. Adonai shlachani linaveh el habayit hazeh ve'el ha'ir hazot. I'm not making it up. It was God himself who sent me to deliver this prophecy about this house and about this city. Et kol ha'dvarim asher shematem. All the things that you heard about, you need to repent, but if you don't repent and improve your actions and behaviors, that this house will be destroyed like Shiloh, and the city will also be destroyed by its enemies. And now he explains that he's not making a prediction that it will happen. He's making a prediction that it could happen if you don't repent. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vata, now. Heitivu darchechem umalalechem. Improve your behavior and your actions. V'shimu b'kol Adonai alechem. And obey and follow what God is telling you. V'inachem Adonai el hara asher diber alechem. And if so, God will change his mind about this evil that he's about to do to you. Notice how Yirmiyahu himself is in a bit of a dilemma. Because what will be the test of a true prophet if his prophecy comes true? So if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, then we'll know he was a true prophet. But what happens if the Beit HaMikdash isn't destroyed? It will look like he's a false prophet. So Yirmiyahu has to make sure that it's clear that he's not saying that the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed for sure. He's saying exactly the opposite. It doesn't have to be destroyed. What he is saying is it could be destroyed if you don't repent properly. In other words, Yirmiyahu's defense is very simple. He's saying, I am a true prophet. What I told you is what God told me. But God isn't saying this will happen for sure. God is saying it might happen if you don't repent properly. Then in Pasuk Yud Dalet, he sort of gives up. Va'ani, hineni bi'etchem. How about me? I'm in your hands. Asuli katov v'chayasha b'nechem. You do what you think is right. You're the judges. You're the established rabbinate. You made your decisions. Ach yadua tidu. But you should surely know. Ki memitim atem oti. If indeed you find me guilty and you execute me and put me to death for this prophecy, ki dam naki atem notnim alechem ve'el ha'ir hazot ve'el yoshveha. If you indict me on this and you find me guilty and execute me, then this will be considered dam naki, innocent blood that you're putting on the city and on its inhabitants, ki be'emet shlachani Adonai alechem, because truly God did send me to give you this warning, to tell you this message from God. Here we have a very nice definition of what it means, damnaki. Innocent blood can be referring to when someone is tried by a court system, found guilty, but on trumped up charges. So that's the first wave of accusation, and Yirmiyahu comes to his own defense. Now, other people are going to come to Yirmiyahu's defense as well. Remember, Yirmiyahu was one of the key prophets during the reign of Yoshiel. He was very popular as well. He was one of the leaders who helped the people return to God under Yoshiel's reign. Now when Yehoiakim became king, and the people were very angry for Yoshiel's death, and they began to leave God, some of the people hate Yirmiyahu. On the other hand, he still has some sympathizers. And now those sympathizers are going to come and speak in Yirmiyahu's defense. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Ve'imru ha'sarim b'chol ha'am, el ha'konim ve'el ha'nevim. Now some of the ministers and some of the people speak to the Kohanim and Nevim, who want Yirmiyahu indicted, and they tell them as follows, Ein l'ish hazeh mishpat mavet. Now the defense lawyers are going to present something in favor of Yirmiyahu. And they say, Ein l'ish hazeh mishpat mavet. This man does not deserve to die. Ki b'shem Adonai Eloheinu dibir eleinu. He is truly saying something in the words of God. And now to Yirmiyahu's defense, they're going to bring a precedent from several decades earlier. Pasuk Yedzayin. Ve'akumu anashim b'zignei ha'aretz. Some of the elders got up. V'yamru akol ha'kal ha'am lemor. And they said to the entire congregation as follows. They're going to bring a story from the time of Chizkiyahu about an earlier prophet named Micha, Micha the Navi from Treyasar. Micha ha-morashti hayani ba v'mei Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. Micha from the city of Moresha, which is Beit Guvrin today, had given a prophecy during the time of Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, and he told the people as follows. Vayomer akol am Yehuda lemor. He told the people of Yehuda saying, Ko amar Adonai tzvot, Tzion tzedet techaresh, Yushalayim i'im tiyeh, v'har bait l'bamot yar. Micha himself had already warned many years ago that Yushalayim is going to be destroyed, that Zion is going to be like a field that's plowed up, and Yushalayim will be left desolate. And har bait, the Temple Mount, will be like a shrine in the woods. In other words, Micha had already predicted that Yushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed. And then they continue in his defense, and they say, Hehamet hemituhu Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda v'chol Yehuda. Did Chizkiyahu the king go afterwards and kill Micha for saying this prophecy? Halo yireat Adonai. Instead, Chizkiyahu had the exact opposite reaction. He began to fear God and took that warning seriously. V'chal et pnei Adonai, he prayed to God, v'nachem Adonai el hara asher diber aleihem. And God changed his mind because of that repentance from doing that destruction to the people like he threatened. V'anachnu, and now we, many decades later, Osim ra gdola anafshotenu, we'll be making a great mistake to our souls if we kill Yirmiyahu for this prophecy. Those were the elders who spoke on behalf of Yirmiyahu to support him. But to counter them, another group of people come and bring a proof that it's okay to kill a Navi who makes this prophecy, and they're going to speak out against Yirmiyahu from a different precedent. Pasuk Chaf, v'gam ish hayam mitnabei b'shem Adonai, Uriyahu ben Shmayahu b'kirat Yarim. There was a previous prophet, his name was Uriyahu, the son of Shmayahu from Kiryat Yarim, which is near Telstone today. And he spoke about the city and about this land, just like Yirmiyahu said, predicting its destruction. What happened when that Navi gave that prediction? When Yoakim and all the leaders of the army and all the ministers heard what he said, the king decided that prophet should be killed. Vayishma Uriyahu, vayira. Uriyahu heard that they wanted him dead, and he became fearful. Vayivrach, vayivo Mitzrayim. He ran away and went down to Egypt. Vayishlach haMelech Yoakim anashim Mitzrayim. Yoakim still wanted him dead, and therefore Yoakim sent men down to Egypt. Who did he send? Et Elchanan ben Achbor vanashim ito el Mitzrayim. He sent a group of his men, led by Elnatan ben Achbor, to go to Egypt to find him. Vayitziuhu et Uriyahu mi Mitzrayim, they extradited Uriyahu from Egypt. Vayivu'u el ha-melech Yehoyakim, they brought him to the king, to Yehoyakim. Vayakehu becharav, and they killed him by sword. Vayashlech et nivloto el kivrei bnei ha'am, and they took his carcass and threw it at the burial spot for the poor people. There was an area called kivrei bnei ha'am, people who couldn't afford to build their own burial sites. The city provided a mass burial site for the poor people, and that's where they threw his body. So what's going to happen now to Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu is going to be saved at the last minute by one of the ministers, someone who sympathized with Yirmiyahu, whose name was Achikam ben Shafan. Ach yad Achikam ben Shafan haita et Yirmiyahu. The hand of Achikam ben Shafan was with Yirmiyahu. Levilti tetoto biyad ha'am lamito. In order not to give him in the hands of the people to have him executed. Now this Achikam ben Shafan is going to be a key character because his father Shafan was one of the ministers of King Yoshiyahu who helped renovate the Beit HaMikdash, and he was the one who was given the Sefer Torah that Chilkiyahu had found when they were renovating the Beit HaMikdash in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu. And his son Gedaliah ben Achikam, is going to be a very important character, which we'll read about in chapters 39 and 40 of Sefer Yirmiyahu, because he's going to be put in charge after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So that's the end of Perek Chavav. And now we have to go back to our questions, which we asked in the beginning. When did this take place? In what year of Yehoyakim? We know it's early in his reign. And what year did it take place? And why is it being told now in chapter 26 after chapter 25, if we already had this story back in chapter 7. I'd like to suggest the following. First of all, this might have been a prophecy that Yirmiyahu had given many times. This warning that if you don't improve your behavior and improve your ways, coming and praying to the Beit HaMikdash will not be enough, but God may come and destroy this house, could have been said many times. However, after chapter 25, after Yirmiyahu makes his political prediction that Babel is going to be in power now for the next 70 years, and the people were really angry at that prediction because that prediction is going to ruin the war effort, and the coalition against Babel is going to encourage the people not to fight against Babel. Therefore, the political establishment decides that Yirmiyahu has to be killed. It now becomes an issue of national security to keep him quiet. Then, the next time he comes to the Beit HaMikdash, probably after chapter 25, it's the next time he gave this prophecy about improving your behavior, otherwise the Beit HaMikdash might be destroyed. When he says it again, then he gets accused of being a false prophet. What I'm suggesting may be that they're using this as an excuse to kill him. First they decided they want Yirmiyahu dead, but when he brings up this possibility of destruction of the temple, they're going to use that as an excuse. Oh, look, he's a false prophet. Now we can kill him. And that would explain why this story is being told in chapter 26 after chapter 25. Also, if you look in the beginning of chapter 28, that's a prophecy from the time period. That's a story from the time period of Tzidkiyahu. But if you look at the header in Perek Chavchet, "Vayi b'shana ahi b'rishit mamlechet Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda, b'shana harevit b'chodesh hachamishi." Here is something that was taking place b'rishit mamlechet Tzidkiyahu, in the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu, and then we're told that was the fourth year. So here we see that even the fourth year of a king can be considered early in his reign. And hence, it could be early in the reign of Jehoiakim, which is stated in the beginning of chapter 26, may also be the fourth year, and hence it coincides with chapter 25. It could be that the trial against Yirmiyahu for predicting the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, the reason why they want to kill him now is because of his prophecy in chapter 25, when he predicted that Babel is going to take over and therefore put up a white flag and surrender to Babel. If that assumption is correct, we have a classic example of what happens when politics and religion clash. In other words, when a group of ministers, and even here rabbis, don't like the political opinion and the political ramifications of what a certain Navi, in this case Yirmiyahu, was saying, instead of dealing with that specific issue, they attack the person and they want to kill Yirmiyahu for being a false prophet on a technical charge, instead of dealing with this real prophecy about the need for people to improve their behavior. This doesn't mean that every time there's a rabbi making a left-wing prophecy or a prediction that they're always right, but it does mean that when there's a legitimate political debate on a certain issue, you can argue about those issues, but that doesn't give you the right to attack the person who's saying those opinions. We're going to continue this study in our next year in our study of chapter 27.